Check. Check. Check, 1, 2, check. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Welcome to Golf Origin Stories, everybody. Happy New Year. It's been a while. It's been a minute. I think my last show was June of 2021. So maybe people thought that the show was dead, but yet it was never dead. It was just in some hibernation. That's all. But it's good to be back. There are lots of reasons why the show kind of stalled out back in June. Work-life balance kind of went a little haywire, and I just didn't have the time or energy to do this. I had to prioritize some stuff, and unfortunately, this show was sort of at the bottom of the list of things. And I think I mentioned this before, but I'm just personally, the way I work, it's, you know, if I don't put the pressure on myself to deliver these every week and I kind of relax, it's really easy to sort of just let it fall by the wayside entirely. I'm just kind of, the kind of person that needs, you know, that sort of, the rhythm and repetition and forced, kind of, dedication almost to something. And so, yeah, like, you know, I decided, well, I'll take a week or two off. And then before you knew it, it's like a month off. And then before you knew it, it's August and July or August and September. And then it's like, well, all right, I'll just start over in the new year. But so there was other things that sort of helped me put it onto the back burner. Cause, at a certain point I knew that the show was going to return in 2022. And so for various reasons, we'll get into that later. I'm not trying to be, well, I'm being a little coy, but there's some things that are happening sort of in the background that eventually will come to light and make sense of why I just sort of put it on the shelf and said, well, I'll revisit that in 2022. But how's everybody been? Let's have a little more extended intro. I mean, obviously you're here because everyone's favorite golf piano player musician is on the show, and I've got a couple of interviews already sort of in the can and done in preparation for the new year. But I figured since in 2021 I started with the musician, you know, my favorite guitar teacher, Ryan, I thought I'd start with another musician in 2022. And you know, I was a little torn, Sam Harrop, obviously that's who the guest is, and he's the best. And I was so happy that he said yes to this show. It was great talking to him. But I was torn because, as everyone knows who listens to the show, I'm a massive Pearl Jam fan. I love to start seasons off with Pearl Jam. I have the last two. And so I wanted to start off, especially with Last Exit, which was this Pearl Jam song, was the first song on Vitalogy. And I just thought it was a perfect feel for firing the podcast back up. But when I talked to Sam, we talk about music a little bit, you know, we talk about his inspirations, and I kind of felt obligated to play something that he would like, as I do that oftentimes when music comes up in these conversations. But I'm going to save one of his songs for another episode, because there are, you know, there's a bunch of really good stuff that he mentioned that I hadn't listened to in a long time. Bruce Hornsby is one of his guys. And so I went back and I was listening to a lot of Bruce Hornsby stuff, and he's a fascinating human. I'll play a Bruce Hornsby song later. Sam, if you're listening, I promise I will play Bruce Hornsby and introduce him to those that haven't listened, or maybe they forgot, but then kind of give some backstory, because I didn't know a lot of the stuff when reading about Bruce and doing some studying up on him. That's pretty fun. Anyways, what was I saying? I was asking how everyone was doing. Hopefully you had a relatively good 2021. Things got a little hairy here at the end, of last year, not here, but kind of in the States and the world. You know, not great. I'm still holding out. I am COVID free since the beginning of the pandemic. I still haven't caught it. Thank you. Knock on wood somewhere. You know, it did, just like so many others, it ran through, each one of my kids got it. You know, we had some different family members get it, but luckily, thankfully, everyone turned out okay. So hopefully, you can say the same thing. As for my second half of the year, boy, quite the mixed bag of events. Some, as I mentioned, contributing to the show, kind of getting put on the back burner, not being a priority, but, let's start with the kind of the bad, I guess. Just, you know, I feel like I'm pretty open on this show, and I like to let people in on where I am and how I'm feeling and what's going on, in my little world, in my life. But, if you listen to the show, I've referenced before that I have a father and a dad. My dad was through marriage. He's technically my stepdad, but he was the man that kind of stepped in and raised us. My father bailed when I was very young from my brother and I. He just kind of took off and left. And he died in 2021, not of COVID, of something else. It was a bizarre thing when I got that phone call. You'll also know that I don't speak with my father. You know, I knew he existed, and he lived in the same state and all those sorts of things, but we didn't communicate. We tried it once and it just didn't take. So he passed away, and it was a weird thing. I said this at the time when I was talking to some friends, but you get a phone call, you know, on a random, whatever it was, a Wednesday afternoon. And the message, you know, the voice on the other side of the phone says, your father passed away today. And, not knowing really how to feel about that. You know, he is my father. He's my blood. He helped bring me into this world. You know, it kind of stops there, and it's just a weird, it's a really difficult thing to subscribe, describe, just bizarre. And then when I called my brother, who's, you know, my brother and has the same father and things like that, and told him, he had the exact same reaction. I didn't even have to prompt him or anything. He's just like, I don't know. You know, and there's like this real strange mix of regret, you know, anger, disappointment, all kinds of things just swirl around, and it's just really strange. It was a very, very strange time. I hadn't, you know, ever experienced, something like that. So that happened. You know, every year, this is the reason initially in June that I took, after the June, I think it was June 13th episode, with Malcolm, I took a few weeks off because I was preparing for the big annual golf trip that we have in Arizona. You know, we took 2020 off for obvious reasons. 2021, we were ramping it back up. Everybody that goes on that trip was chomping at the bit to get back in there and play and get together and the whole thing. So we did what we always do. We went up north to, you know, in Arizona, to Flagstaff, played golf for a couple days, rented a big, huge house. Everybody stayed there. It was amazing. So much fun. There was one, incident. So, one of the guys, that usually goes on the trip, it's my brother's very best friend. They met through work. He's a big golfer. His son is an amazing golfer. He'll be going to college on a scholarship, to play golf. He couldn't go on the trip because the week before, he was taking his son, as a graduation present to California to play California courses, Pebble Beach and the like, and just kind of do a whole thing there for him, and they could experience that together. So he didn't go on the trip. Fast forward to the trip in July, and, we are, sitting outside. We had a smoker going. We're smoking meat for dinner. We're all just hanging out. There's like four or five of us. And my brother's there, and he gets a phone call. And the voice on the other line, on the other end of the line, tells them that our friend shot himself and killed himself that night while we were on the golf trip. You know, obviously it affected me. You know, I love the guy. He was amazing, but my brother was in just absolute shambles. He was just destroyed by the whole thing. And the same kind of thing, you know, you watch in real time, someone that you love just be completely heartbroken. And, you know, it's rough. It was really rough. And, you know, so we talked about like, just, do we just call it, you know, and put an end to the trip right now. You know, that's what we were kind of, you know, that's what I decided to do. Like, you know, just seeing my brother in that state, like what am I can't leave him alone. Can't just send him home. You know, he needs his family and friends, but then, you know, what turned out is his family and friends were there. We were all at the golf trip. We were all together. And, he decided that's what was best for him. And so we kind of, it was certainly a more subdued, trip than normal for some of us. You know, because of that, you know, but, yeah, so that was, God, it was just horrible, man. It's still horrible. So he left behind a son and a daughter. And then, you know, it's just, you know, I think I've said it before here, but, you know, everyone's got stuff. Everyone's got a thing, or more than one thing. If you can find someone to talk to about it, please talk to someone about it. You know, the mental health thing and mental, you know, health, or wellness, mental wellness, like it's real. And, you know, it's just, you don't, no one wants it to come to that ever. So, you know, if you need to talk to somebody or write down things or just, you know, do whatever it takes. And that would include if you want to reach out to me, reach out to me, I'll listen. You know, whatever. But that was just one of the most heartbreaking things I've ever experienced. You know, thankfully it's the one and only time I've experienced something like that, someone taking their own life that I knew that well. And God, I hope I never experience it again. Just brutal. So yeah, so those were the two kind of horrible things, you know, confusing, bad things that happened that sort of delayed the return of the show. You know, I'd mentioned that work-life balance also got thrown out of whack, which is a kind of a good thing, you know, not to like, I don't know how, I got put on a project that took a ton of effort, you know, and so that was really taking up a lot of my time. So I didn't want to just half-ass this thing. I didn't, you know, I was still doing the, I'm still producing for Talking Golf Getaways for Mitch and Darren. I was still doing the Range Life shows with Bill from DriveToGrangeHeroes.com. And then, you know, I just wanted, after July, all I really wanted to do was just be with friends and family and play as much golf as humanly possible until I couldn't. And so that's what I did. You know, the, at the time, you know, after having travel taken away from me, from us, you know, for so long, once, you know, I got my shots and, I felt safer going and things were more open and I just, that's what we did. We took some trips, went and saw some things, tried to, you know, relax as much as we could and, you know, get a new appreciation for seeing and experiencing new things, left the country just to an island for a while, at the end of the year, which was great. You know, did a handful of golf trips here and there, just shorties. But that was it. I just committed to just doing that and removing, any other stressors in my life, for a little while, you know, hung out with my kids, which in some cases, because they're older and they didn't live with me and they were at college, whatever, did that stuff, went down to college to see the one kid a couple times. So that was it. After we just tried to recover from the summer a little bit and the things that happened there and just really enjoy ourselves and have some fun and relax and reconnect and do all those things that we had been missing for so long, at least over here. So that's the summary of my second half of the year. There was some bad, but there was a lot of good, a lot to be thankful for, I appreciate. And I do appreciate to those that reached out to ask about the show, to ask if it was done, or when it was coming back and hopeful that it was coming back and how much they missed it and all those things. It means the world to me. Thank you so much for doing that. I appreciate it. And it's good to know that, I had a small little impact or influence on some people out there that I don't get to talk to or see that often, really. I also took a little bit of a social media hiatus because it got to be too much for me for a little while. There's just, sometimes there's more productive things to do. That's really it. And more things that will make me, again, just removing stressors from my life, because God, sometimes it's brutal. But anyways, let's talk about the show. Let's talk about Sam being here, and how great that is. And let's talk about the good that comes from social media. And Sam is one of those things of good that come out of social media. And we do talk about that a little bit. We talk about his musical origins. We compare our sort of musical origins, which is fun, and how he started writing these wonderful golf songs that are so good. He's a really great guy. So I've spoken for far too long for these intros, but I just felt like we should catch up a little bit. It's been a while. I haven't had a microphone in front of my face by myself in so long. I feel like there's so much to say. I didn't even really talk about Last Exit and the meaning of the song and things like that. I just love the song, obviously, but you can go and listen to it and make your own conclusions of what Eddie Vedder was feeling and what he's trying to say. There's some context around the band that song is about, but I'm not going to do it. Let's just get to Sam already. And listen to him tell some stories and talk about music and golf and all that good stuff. Sam, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for doing this. As we said before we started recording, we both had some scheduling conflicts, but we did it. We made it. We are together. And so thank you. I'm so happy that you're here. It's so cool that you're here. I really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. I'm glad we could finally work out time. And it's nice to be invited on.
Yeah. I know you had commented on my guitars when we first came on the video feed. And I'd made a joke that I am not an actual... I people that don't play music think I'm a musician. You actually, you can read music, you play piano, you're like a legitimate musician, you write sort of your own stuff. Do you actually write some of your own stuff? Or is it just, are you strictly a golf composer, a golf song composer these days?
Well, you know what, I don't have all that much sort of free time to write my own songs anymore. I mean, I wish I did, to be honest, but it's kind of, I have a sort of limited amount of time where I can kind of do my music stuff. And it used to be maybe playing around with ideas for original songs. And that's kind of been replaced with golf stuff now. So.
Would you consider yourself a professional musician?
I suppose you could say semi-professional. I wouldn't say professional because that would imply that I make my living playing music, which isn't true really, but...
Okay.
Well, I suppose it's a kind of sideline. So yeah, semi-professional, let's go with.
Fair. I always used to say when I used to get paid for playing music that technically that made me a professional.
I see. So you must, you must have reasonable guitar chops if you used to get paid for playing music, right?
A long time ago.
Once you've got it, you don't lose it. You know, it's like riding a bike, yeah?
Oh, for sure. I still play at least once a week, at minimum. I try to give myself an hour only because, you know, I don't play out very often, but it's just good kind of for the soul, man. It's just like, you know, this thing where you can, it's nothing, you know, there's nothing digital involved. It's just me and this guitar and, you know, just kind of takes your mind off of whatever it is that's going on.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah. It's just music is like, it's escapism really in a way, isn't it? It's just, you take yourself out of everything, you know, whatever it is, work or like anything that's stressing you out. And it's just something you can enjoy doing. And it just, it's always a de-stressor for me.
Yep. What bit you first, the music bug or the golf bug?
Oh, definitely the music bug, I would have to say. Or at least I guess I was, so my parents sent me for piano lessons when I was pretty young, before I ever picked up a golf club, I think. So, and there's something I really liked about playing the piano when I was in like the school choir and things, which I used to really enjoy. And then, at some point shortly after that, I think I went to the pitch and putt with my parents, and I enjoyed that as well. But I guess maybe it was just I had more natural ability at music than I do at golf.
Is that a family kind of thing? Is like, are mom and dad musicians? Were, you know, other members of the family musicians?
Not massively, actually. I mean, my mum a little bit. She played piano a bit, and she used to play organ at the church and stuff. So yeah, I guess I probably got a little bit from her. And she used to like sing to me when I was little. But I suppose a lot of mums probably do that. But the rest of my family, not so much. I mean, my dad, not at all, and my brothers, not at all either. So,
really?
Yeah,
that's kind of, I don't know what that. So I'm also the only sort of quote unquote musician in the family. I guess, you know, my stepdad can play. I mean, we're obviously not blood related, but he certainly had an influence when I was younger. He plays guitar and he would play guitar, but you'd never hear that guy sing. And he's just at whatever he is now, 70 years old, you know, said, screw it. You're going to listen to my voice, whether you like it or not. And he's actually got a great voice, but, I'm the only one too, that sort of got that sort of thing, in my body. I didn't play guitar originally. I started with clarinet actually in like, you know, the sixth grade, middle school band. I was certainly definitely one of the cool kids, right? In band with my clarinet.
Well, you know, I can relate to that. So, I mean, I used to play cello at school.
Oh, did you? Okay.
So cello, piano and voice were kind of my three instruments, but yeah, cello was probably never the coolest instrument. And honestly, I didn't enjoy it as much as I do the piano. And I think it's because I quite like being able, what I like about the piano is being able to accompany myself. So, you know, I'm singing and I'm accompanying myself with the piano. You can't really do that with a cello, right? You know, and it was never really, it never kind of bit me the same way that the piano did. So once I finished university, actually, I stopped playing the cello. And honestly, it's quite, I mean, you know what it's like. Again, you know, you only have so many hours in a day. So in order to practice instruments, you know, having three is just, it was too much for me, really.
Now, was there ever a time where you weren't playing piano? Did you ever kind of give it a rest and give it a break? Or has it always been like a constant in your life?
No, I mean, it's always been a constant, really. I mean, I think I was eight when I first started having piano lessons, and I kind of kept having lessons. And I did we have sort of a grade system over here where, you know, you pass exams, you know, you grade one, grade two, and you get up to grade eight is kind of like the top. So I did my grade eight, and then I went to university, and that was one of the instruments I was playing at university. And then once I finished there, I started sort of, you know, playing around, writing my own songs and things for a bit. And then I started getting a few gigs here and there, just kind of like piano and voice kind of solo gigs. So I did those for a few years. So it's kind of always been there, really. Only obviously recently then I sort of started this weird golf music thing, but yeah.
Yeah. When did you, how did that sort of inspiration come to you with the golf music sort of combination? Was it just something you were noodling around one day on the piano had an idea, or is it something that you kind of sought, like, you know what, I want to write a song about Tony Finau or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, well, it's weird, really. It was never really a conscious decision. You know what, like, I want to make golf and music a thing, you know.
Yeah.
It was just, I just got this weird idea in my head about, you know, I'd watched I'd watched Tony Finau in the Phoenix Open when it looked like he was going to win, and then, you know, and he Webb Simpson won in the end, and it was another near miss for Tony Finau. And I just got that idea in my head to that song. I'm quite often playing around with kind of changing words to popular songs. I kind of do it with my friends and stuff, kind of, you know, just mess around with things. So whatever reason, I got this little idea in my head with that REO Speedwagon song. And I thought, actually, you know what, this is, you know, I can add in some funny little quips, you know, and maybe my followers on Twitter, which wasn't very many at the time, might find it funny, you know. So I just thought, you know what, I'll make a full kind of song out of it, you know, try and make it a little bit witty, and I'll put it out there, and, you know, like 50 people can like it, and that'll be that. And it went huge, you know. It's got shared so many times, and Tony Finau himself obviously commented, which made a huge difference to the kind of exposure of the song. You know, it just reached so many more people after that. And then because it had gone down so well, then I just did another one, and that went down well, so I did another one, and it just basically kept going, and it hasn't stopped since then.
I know. Now you're doing stuff for, like, did you do a US Open song, I want to say? And
yeah.
I think I saw that. Did you get invited to play at the PGA show this year, this coming year?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So US Open, you're right. So I was contacted by them back in, I think it was April. And they said, you know, we'd love to get you out to Torrey Pines. You know, we're going to set up a little stage on the side of the course, and you can do some songs to, you know, the end of each day's play. You know, I thought, this is a joke, you know,
right?
Believe it. And then because of kind of COVID and visa stuff, I couldn't actually go over there and perform, but they were still, fortunately, they were happy for me to do kind of a virtual performance. So I did.
Yeah.
So I did three songs. I did one before the tournament. I did one sort of after the cut, and then I did one kind of a winner's song at the end for Jon Rahm. So that was amazing. I mean, it was amazing to be asked to do something like that by such a huge organization, you know, the USGA, getting in contact with, like, little old me here in the UK. So, so a lot more recently, the PGA show got in touch, and they said, you know, we'd love you to, you know, we'd love you to do some stuff over here in Orlando for the show, which will be another, you know, that'll be another great experience. But again, you know what, I try not to get too excited about these things, because, you know, especially with what's going on the last couple of weeks.
Sure.
It wouldn't be the biggest shock in the world if COVID puts pay to that trip.
Right.
Well, but we'll see.
Right. I know. Fingers crossed. Hopefully, yeah. You know, we can get you over here and you can play. I mean, that is just, that's the coolest thing, man. And it's all through, like, you know, I think sometimes social media gets this bad rap, right? But, like, this is one of those good things that came out of social media. You know, you threw some stuff out that's really fun and lighthearted and entertaining, and being rewarded for it.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing that almost surprises me most about this is that, you know, I put out these videos, you know, I must have done about 20 now, and I, you know, 99.9% of the reaction is really positive and encouraging, and everyone's been, like, amazing about it, really. And it's so rare, actually, that I get any kind of, you know, any sort of negative stuff. And I feel lucky about that, because I know social media can be quite toxic, and I'm not the most thick-skinned person. So that's been a surprise. That's been a welcome surprise, I have to say.
Yeah.
And obviously, yeah, so social media for me is, you know, has been a huge positive thing, because just that little idea I had and recording it has led to all these, you know, amazing opportunities. So, yeah, it's awesome.
When you, it's such an interesting thing, because it's kind of like, if I deconstruct some of your songs, right? Like, you have this challenge where, I feel like, anyways, maybe this is not the case, but you take a song, that song that has to be relatively well-known within pop culture. Mm-hmm. And you have to also have a topic or a person that is sort of known in the golf world, and make those work together. So is there, do you have sort of a list of things, or how do you sort of, you know, decide on how a song, and because you could do a parody song and people wouldn't know that it was a parody if they didn't, if they weren't familiar with the melody of the song, right?
That's right. Yeah. And I think I don't know. I mean, I think once I'd done that first one, and it was obviously, I took a pretty well-known song. You know, I think a lot of people knew that song, or at least people of kind of our kind of age, at least.
Right.
All of a
sudden
knew that song. And so obviously that worked. So I thought, okay, I just need to pick relatively popular songs. And then I don't know. I guess I kind of have, because my work is in, well, I work in a, for a music publisher, I kind of have built up a slightly encyclopedic knowledge of kind of pop music. So
yeah,
there's a lot of songs kind of in my brain, kind of going around all the time. So whenever I have an idea about a player or anything, then there's generally, I can kind of pick through, you know, a certain number of songs that might be suitable, you know, so I can generally find something that's going to work. But yeah, I mean, it's finding a song that's generally finding a song that's relatively well known. And then obviously, for whatever reason, I can kind of, you know, sometimes it's as simple as, you know, replacing the player's name in a particular right. moment in the song. Like the best example is probably Penny Lane, and I did Benny Arm. Whereas sometimes it does, sometimes it's not like that at all. So, you know, I mean, a Tony Finau one, you know, that could have been anyone, that could have been anyone's name in that slot, really.
Sure.
As long as it had been four syllables, I guess. So it just, sometimes it's just a song, that I know, and I know sounds good. Cause the other thing to factor in, of course, is songs that sound good on the piano, right? Because
sure.
you know, people have said, oh, you could do this song by, I don't know, like Metallica or something. I'm like, okay, fine, but it's not going to sound great
right.
for me on the piano. You know? So I always have to think, okay, is it going to sound good on the piano? Can I play it on the piano? I mean, I can't do anything that's too tricky, you know?
Sure.
And obviously I'm singing at the same time. So again, it can't be too intricate. And then it's kind of finding the right song for that player or storyline.
Yeah. I think, you know, it's kind of funny. The part of it being sounding good on a piano, I didn't even think about that. Like, yeah, but like some stuff I would love to play on guitar, but, or an acoustic, right. And kind of convert it into some sort of campfire version, but, it doesn't always work.
It doesn't always work. Sometimes it works. Sometimes you can take a song, really strip it back and retain its kind of appeal, but other times it just doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the other thing too is, the danger of, changing the song where it isn't necessarily recognizable, you know, like you'd want it to be. And then it kind of missed the point anyways, but,
That's right. Yeah.
So let's talk about golf a little bit. When you'd mentioned before, when you were younger, you went to the pitch and putt with mom and dad or whatever, but talk about just how you initially back in the day fell in love with golf.
Yeah. So it really does go back to that. It goes back to the pitch and putt really. I mean, those are some of my most of my favorite days out with my parents. I think when I was younger, you know, when we go to the pitch, but it wouldn't happen all that often, but maybe we go like once a month or something. And that's something I always liked about the kind of, I think what I liked about golf then and what I still like now is that every time you go to a golf course, it could be your best round yet, right? It could be your personal best round, or you could hit your best shot ever, or maybe you could get your first hole in one, which I still haven't had. You know, so there's always something new to aim for. However you're playing or whatever, there's always that potential that you could do something you've never done before. You can improve on that, and I think I just like that kind of the personal challenge of golf. But also, I just like I like playing with friends. You know, normally when I play now, I go out with friends, and I like kind of just spending a few hours with friends. You know, on a golf course, just it's just a fun way to spend a few hours, I think. So it's partly that, just that kind of, again, a bit like music is a slight, it's kind of an escapism, especially if you're on a course that's kind of, you know, maybe a bit off the beaten track, and it's very serene, isn't it? And it's just, it's kind of just takes you away from everything, from the sort of hecticness of daily life. So I think it's that combined with the, you know, slight competitive nature in me that I feel like I want to, you know, not necessarily beat another person, but beat my own, you know, my own personal best or whatever, which I like about it.
Yeah. I've always compared, I think there are some there are a lot of parallels to me between music and golf, in which, like, kind of mentioned it, there's never perfect. There's no such thing as perfect. And quite honestly, you know, when it, even in music, like, I guess you have to be careful when I say this, but there's never anything as for me, like I've played bad shows, right? Or at least what I felt was a bad show, but never enough to stop playing, you know, and I've had bad rounds of golf, but never bad enough where I'm like, I'm done with this game. Like, it's just actually, there's always the next show or the next round that kind of keeps you eternal optimism or internal optimism going for you.
Exactly. I mean, I've definitely got closer to giving up golf than I have for music. Again, I think that just comes back to natural ability, which I referenced. but yeah, absolutely. I think you know, there's always always makes you want to come back for more. I think both music and golf.
Yeah. Did you ever play competitively?
Oh God. No. I mean, I really, you know, I can't stress this enough. I'm not a good golfer. I love the game, and I love going out and playing, but I'm not, you know, certainly not, I've ever played competitively, and I will never, I'm at peace now with the fact that I'm not a good golfer, and I never will be. Right. I'm happy to just do, you know, to go out there, you know, if I break 100, that's generally where I'm kind of hovering around. So anytime I'm in double digits, I'm happy pretty much nowadays.
Right. Yeah. I never played competitively either. I never really, did you play other sports at all competitively, or was it just music and school? And
no, I mean, I play tennis. I'm a member of a tennis club now, actually. And I don't play even with that, I don't play competitively, to be honest. I just go along, you know, a couple of times a week and, you know, to like a club day, but no, I've never really played competitively in any sport, you know, back, maybe in school I played, you know, a little bit of competitive, you know, football, basketball, but no, not since then.
Okay. Do you remember even back when being a kid, so like your parents would take you out or whatever, do you remember what sort of, was it just the social aspect or the challenge of it that grabbed you when you were that young?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, so I've got two brothers, you know, who are one and 2 years older than me. So, you know, we're very close in age, and we've always been, I think maybe because we're so close in age, we've always been quite competitive with one another. So I think it was partly that, you know, that the three of us would be going out there with our parents, and we'd be trying to beat each other, you know, so I think it was partly that, but it was just ultimately a fun day out. I really enjoy sports generally, just playing sports, and that's golf, that's tennis, that's lots of sports, to be honest. So any occasion where I can go out and do that for a few hours is one of my favorite things to do. So
yeah, it's kind of funny. I have younger brothers. I'm the oldest of three brothers. We're also pretty close in age, and when I talk about my sort of golf origin story, it's because they decided to get good at golf. You know, like they were like, they decided without me. I didn't know this was going to happen. They live in Arizona. My family moved to Arizona a long time ago, and I went to visit, and they're like, let's go play golf. And we had gone out to play golf before. Right. But it's just kind of like, you know, whatever, let's go out and screw around and hit some balls. And I get out there and they're like, and they're shooting in the 80s.
All right.
You know, like they're flirting with the 70s. I'm like, wait, when did this happen? So sure enough, when I came home, that was it. Like straight to the range, you know, I got to go and work on this stuff and figure it out. And I was probably, you know, I was in my late 20s, early 30s at that point. And that's kind of, but yeah, I quickly fell in love with it. But it's funny how that, that competitive spirit will drive it. And kind of similar to you is, now my favorite stories are the stories that I tell about golf, may or may not include a golf shot. It may include, it'll include who I was with, what we talked about, that kind of stuff. And I don't know if that is that something that comes with age, you think?
Possibly, yeah. I don't know. I mean, to be honest, I still have funny memories like that aren't necessarily related to hitting a, you know, a great shot or anything. Like I still remember to this day going to one of these pitch and putt trips, actually with my granddad, and he hit a shot, and the ball, you know, he was never very good either, like me, but the ball literally went straight up in the air, and I'm talking vertically straight up in the air, and it came down, and it went basically behind his, well, through his jacket, behind his neck, if you like, and then down his arm, and then it broke his watch strap, and then it came, the ball came down to the floor. I mean, it's just one of those things you couldn't possibly imagine it could possibly happen, but yeah,
it's like one of the original trick shots.
Yeah,
right. If only you had an Instagram account to capture.
Exactly, if you can repeat that, right?
Oh man, yeah. I guess it sort of, to your point of coming to terms with our level of play. You kind of like, yes, I keep score. I always keep score, and I always want to play better. But at the end of the day, when I walk off, like I'm not going to measure the day by if I broke 100, if I broke 90, if I, you know what I mean? Like it's a nice to have. It's not necessary for my day.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I've been lucky enough, to play some really good courses this year. Some of the best courses that I've certainly ever played. I've never really played particularly well on them. You know, I played at Prince's Golf Club, which is right next to Royal St. George's, where the Open was this year.
Oh, wow.
It's obviously a links course, and it's pretty tough. And I wasn't playing well at all that weekend. And I, you know, we've been, you know, going out to late and drinking and stuff, so I don't have much. That doesn't never really helps. But So I played really badly, but it was such an amazing course, and I was there with friends, and we hadn't seen each other for so long, you know, that it really didn't matter. You know, back in the day, probably when I was in my 20s, if the same thing had happened, I would have come back and I would have been like, you know, cursing how badly I played, and it probably would have hurt for a few days, to be honest. But honestly, this time I was just like, you know what, it really didn't bother me at all.
Yeah. The it's kind of funny you bring up the, you know, playing some golf courses, some significant golf courses in your area. I guess what is it like? What time of day is it there? Is it, I don't know, 3 a.m. or something? I assume. I don't know.
No, it's only just gone 8:00.
Okay, yeah, I don't know how that works. You know, time is just a social construct. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyways, are you a golf trip guy? Like, do you do trips like that or try to get to some bucket list courses, you know, in Europe?
Well, you know what? I hadn't done for a long time. So not long after I first kind of properly took up golf, or at least started playing regularly with my group of friends, when I was probably in my mid 20s, and we had a golf trip in Brittany in France, North France, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. Just like a long weekend. And then we did the same again in Spain, in the Costa del Sol in Spain. And they were great trips, you know, really good. I really loved those sort of things. We played some nice courses, not like ridiculously nice courses, but nice courses. Because we didn't have much money, to be honest. So we couldn't afford anywhere crazy, but I hadn't done any of those type of things until this year, really, for a good probably 12 years, I reckon, since
our wow.
Yeah, so so I was really looking forward to doing that again, and obviously this one was relatively local, and it was a UK trip, but yeah, I mean, hopefully I'll be able to do more of those kind of things. I mean, I'm hoping you know, if I do get to go out to the PGA show next month, that I'm hoping to play a couple of courses there. A couple of people have reached out and offered to help, you know, to help host me on some pretty nice courses.
Oh, fun!
So yeah, Lake Nona has been mentioned, so I'm hoping that one comes.
have you played in the States before?
I have, but so I went my. So my parents used to go out to the villages in Florida. It's a retirement place that's got tons of golf courses on it. And I went out, this was probably, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 years ago, went out over Christmas, and I played a couple of the courses there with my mum. But yeah, that's it. That's the only time I've played.
Okay.
And they weren't, you know, again, they weren't sort of brilliant courses. They were just, you know, kind of cheap courses that they had on the villages. But so it, you know, it'll be a new experience really if I do get to play some courses while I'm out there, and one that I'm hoping will happen.
Yeah, it's the grass is weird in Florida. I'll just for a Midwesterner, and I'm sure for, like, I'm in Chicago. You know, I don't know. I'm not a grass expert or anything, but like, there, it's just like stickier or something. I don't know. It's right. Different. It's different grass. And as long as you're sort of used to that, because I just remember playing, even the way that your club kind of goes through the ground, you know, the strike, the ball feels different, it, let alone what the ball does when it hits, you know, the grass or the green. Yeah. So I just, you know, I thought I'd give you a heads up there, but if you played it, then.
Well, kind of. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a grass expert either, but when I was out there before, I don't remember feeling like, well, this is so different to what I'm used to. But then, you know, it may be different if I go and play a course that's like really, you know, that's really well looked after, you know.
Yeah. The super manicured ones. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. So what do you have planned? I remember talking to you when we were scheduling this kind of thing up, and like, you don't really plan your songs out, do you? You just kind of like, you just sort of have some things that you're working on, and then when you feel like it's ready, do you kind of go, or do you wait for like an event to occur, and then sort of have something in your back pocket ready to go? How do you sort of develop these songs and the timing?
Well, it's sort of both, actually, to be honest. Okay. So sometimes I do have a certain event in mind. So shortly after I did that first Tony Finau song, I was like, well, okay, who do I do one about next? And I was like, well, Phil Mickelson is my favorite player. I've got to do one about him, right? And I knew that the US Open was, you know, was coming up. And I thought, well, that's the perfect narrative, right? You know, right. I mean, tying the whole US Open thing. But then, of course, that was postponed. I'd already written it, and it was to do with the US Open, so I just had to hold on to that one until it came about, which ended up being September. So that one I just kept in my pocket until that time came around. And then likewise, you know, when I go through who I want to do a song about, a few months ago, I thought, well, I'd like to do one about Harry Higgs.
I was going to ask about the Harry Higgs song. Yeah,
I knew that his 30th birthday was coming up. So I thought, you know what, I'll hold on and I'll just do it as like a little, you know, a little birthday nod. So again, I kept that one in my back pocket for probably 3 months, I reckon, after I kind of finished writing it. But then other times it's just, you know, something happens and I want to get one out really quick. Like, for example, the Brooks and Bryson, you know, when that beef first like properly kicked off with the leak video, I thought I had to do something really timely. So I just came up with something very quick then and put it out about 24 hours later. So sometimes it is very much spur of the moment. Well, maybe it's not that quick sometimes. Sometimes something might happen or an idea comes to my head and I just put it out a couple of weeks later when I've done kind of polishing it, basically.
Yeah.
It really does vary depending on what's going on in you know, in the world of golf and who I want to do a song about, basically.
Yeah. Who do you listen to from a musical perspective, just kind of for, you know, entertainment? Or do you have like a favorite band or performer or anything like that?
Yeah, I do. So I'd say Ryan Adams is one of my all time favorites. I'd say.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And Bruce Hornsby, I really like, which is probably more, I guess, my sort of style, the kind of piano and singing thing. But varied. I mean, nowadays, in terms of kind of, you know, more kind of current acts, I really like Bon Iver. But quite varied. I like some dance music. There's a French DJ producer called Madian who I really like. I like some hip hop. I mean, I really like Tupac back in the day. So yeah, quite varied.
Really?
Quite varied. Yeah. So there's a lot of different things that I enjoy for depending on my mood or whatever. So it does vary.
So have you tried, be honest, have you tried to play Tupac on the piano?
Well, I have played Changes, which of course is, you know, it samples the Bruce Hornsby song. So it probably doesn't really count. But a friend of mine actually, it was my best friend's 40th birthday this year. and his sister decided to put together this video for him, and they wanted me to close it out by doing basically doing the Changes kind of chorus, if you like.
Really?
So I had, so I did, so I did learn, I did sort of relearn that for that purpose, but yeah.
Is there a, is there an artist that you just love to play? Maybe you're not just, but you just find their stuff to be just really good and fun on the piano. Cause there are some guitar, there are some songs on the guitar that I just, I'm not a huge fan of whoever, but like, it's just a fun song to play in general. Right.
Well, I mean, that is definitely Bruce Hornsby for me, because his, yeah, his songs are just great on the piano. You know, he has some really cool, like kind of solo lines and just some really nice like hooks. But some of it is quite hard.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Well, this is fun, man. I really do appreciate you coming on here. I'm looking forward to, I hope that you get to Orlando. I'm not going to be able to get to Orlando this year, but I hope you can really, I don't know what kind of advice to give you for the PGA show. It is a thing, man. It's a something. It's a lot. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a very new experience for me if I do get out there. I mean, I've only seen kind of the pictures that I've seen and what I've read, but it seems like it's huge, right?
And especially like someone, so I can go and sort of just sort of, I don't have any obligations per se. Like I don't have to play piano at, right, you know, on the stage or anything like that, or get pulled in. I'm sure you're going to get invited to some after parties, which are always, they're fun. You know, you talk about, you know, staying out too late and then coming back the next day. Things can get out of hand if you're not careful, but, there's a really fun, I'll tell you this. I don't know why there aren't more people, you know, there during the PGA show, but there's a really fun, little 9-hole golf course. If I remember it, I will send it to you. I'll send you a link, but, it's lit up. It's a night you can play it at night.
Oh, nice.
It's really fun. We went every night. We'd usually run it two or three times because there's no one out there.
Is it a pitch and par? Is it a full size course?
No, you can play. It's probably, you know, a 3-club golf course, right? It's like a par 3 golf course. Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
You have to send me that link, because that's the sort of thing I'd love to do. And I've never done sort of night golf before as well. So that's something that, you know, I've seen pictures of it online, like in Dubai and stuff, but I want to try that. Yeah.
No, it's super cool. And it's like, I don't know. I like the sort of, local municipal style. Don't get me wrong. I will play a fancy and well-maintained golf course, but there's something to be said about just like, you know, throwing a ball down on the ground and just, it's a good time. Yeah. But it's what you walk it, and it's super cool. I will send you that. I'll find it and I'll send you that. I want to say it's like Orange Lakes or something like that. But
right, okay. Yeah.
I'll find it and send it to you. But thank you, man. I do appreciate this. This is a fun conversation. I'm so glad that we were able to do this.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on, and all the best for, all the best for 2022. You know, let's have a good year.
Why not? We're due for a good year. Damn it.
We certainly are.
So that's Sam Harrop. We are due for a good year. Damn it. You can find Sam, if you don't already follow him on Twitter, you definitely should, at Sam_golf. And also check him out on YouTube. Sam Harrop Music. At Sam Harrop Music. I should probably know that since I'm a YouTube guy myself. Speaking of which, I'm going to start without the intros and the outros. Uploading. I did some from last year, but uploading the video of this show onto YouTube. So if you prefer to watch interviews, you can go there and do that. Otherwise, you know, the podcast is the podcast. You can get it anywhere. And also, you know, in terms of podcasts, the other thing that I do on YouTube every week is a show called That Range Life. A show sometimes about golf with my buddy Bill from DrivingRangeHeroes.com. That YouTube show right now has been converted into a podcast as well. So if you don't want to go on YouTube and look at our stupid faces, you can just go and listen to us on the podcast talk about golf and sometimes television, and sometimes alcohol or beer or bourbon or sometimes candy. It's quite the thing. It's quite the show, especially when it's not really golf season. So go and check that out if you'd like. And that's it. That's the show. It's great to be back. Thanks again for listening. Subscribe to the show. You can find me on all the social medias, Twitter, Instagram, and even TikTok now. I'm starting to play around with that, at Chris McEwen. But that's it. It is great to be back. It feels so good to do this again. It's kind of just rejuvenating me, and it's going to be a great year, everybody. All right. That's what we're going to say, and that's what we're going to manifest. It's going to be a great year. So, otherwise, I will talk to you probably next week. I haven't decided what I might ease my way. As I mentioned, I've got a bunch of these already recorded, but I may go to an every other week release pattern. Haven't really decided, but either way, the next guest will be none other than Will Bardwell, who is one of my favorite writers, bloggers, podcasters, Twitter follows. So stay tuned for that. Otherwise, I will talk to everyone later.